Hello, and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. You are going to hate this episode.
I know.
But Rachel, it's October, and October has Halloween, and we would really be missing a great chance if we allowed this month to pass by without at least one episode on the patron saint genre of October, horror.
Well, okay, so let me just read something to you that I found that will give you a tiny look into why this is not my favorite genre. Okay. Literary historian J.A. Cuddon defined the horror story as a piece of fiction in prose or variable lengths, which shocks or even frightens the reader, or perhaps induces a feeling of repulsion or loathing. If that definition doesn't affect you, then you are a monster.
I'm laughing. Okay, so J.A., as I like to call him.
Yeah.
So he says that it's fiction. So he points that out, Rachel. You know.
Yeah, I know.
This shit's not real, is what he's saying.
That's right.
It shocks.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't normally think of horror as being shocking, but okay, I'll go for that. So it shocks, frightens, or the repulsion or loathing. That kind of cracks me up. I think horror for me is all about the fright. And mm-hmm. it's just I'm not as sensitive to the fear, repulsion, and loathing as some readers are, but I do love the words that he uses, which are all extremely emotional.
Well, emotional words that make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So in this episode, Carmen will be doing the most of the talking, and I will be making some comments on various titles from the horror genre.
Now, Rachel, if you'll remember, some time back, are you laughing already?
I'm already laughing because I'm already laughing, yes.
I made some black vodka using black rice.
You're very bougie doing this. You are very bougie.
Well,
and very,
you can't, in the state of Alabama, there's one manufacturer or distiller, pardon me, that produces black vodka, but the state of Alabama, you can't get it because of our Alabama beverage control. So I read all about how to make this vodka, and I wanted to go an all natural way. I didn't want to use, you know, frosting color or anything like that. So I used black rice to stain regular vodka. And then I bought some edible glitter, which, by the way, I cannot find that shit anywhere. I have no idea what I did with it. But
one
anyway,
of your boys took it. Okay.
I bought some edible glitter and I swirled it in that black vodka martini. Oh my gosh, it was so beautiful. But
yes.
It was terrible. It tasted so bad that I threw it out.
Well, you're mixing potatoes and rice. That, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And then throwing in black. I don't. So you threw the whole drink out, right? Not just, did you throw the drink out or the whole jar of black vodka?
I threw the whole damn jar away because
Oh my gosh.
I knew. And you know what I used? I used a glass. What came in that? Like a Prego, you know, with a spaghetti sauce. I used a glass jar that spaghetti sauce had come in. So that's how much I threw away.
Gosh, I know that hurt you. So yeah. What are you drinking tonight in honor of horror?
I haven't given up on coloring clear vodka black. So,
okay.
I used some food coloring, and while the color is not as dark as I wanted, I can kind of still see. It's more purple than anything, but okay. It's still really, really good. So basically, I have a chilled martini glass full of vodka.
I love it.
With no glitter dust, because there's no damn telling where it is.
Okay, you just have to pretend like it's pixie dust.
Yes.
Well, I am trying smoking blackberry sage margarita. And it's actually not smoking because I did not get the dry ice, but it's tequila, lemon juice, blackberries, fresh sage, a little bit of maple syrup, and orange bitters.
Oh my God,
this
that sounds delicious.
So delicious. So,
oh, wow. You know, when you said smoking blackberry sage margarita, mm-hmm. I thought what you meant, I've noticed a thing. Huntsville has a craft cocktail tour, like, and I've
yes,
noticed
I know what you're talking. Mm-hmm.
They'll set something on fire and then turn the glass over it.
Yeah, they put a dome on it. This was just dry ice, but I also have seen where you can light a rosemary stick and put it in the drink.
Yep.
Both
but you know,
those,
I don't want to drink anything that's got a piece of dry ice in it.
Well, I know. So that's why I'm not drinking and I have regular ice.
Yeah. So what are you reading?
So I'm going to be shocking you
because
I am reading Bram Stoker's Dracula.
What?
Yes. Yes, I'm reading a gothic horror novel.
Rachel, I didn't even make you.
I know. And it's written in a collection of journals, letters, papers, epistolatory form?
Epistolary.
Yes, which you love. And
that is
even
my
though
favorite.
I know, and I am enjoying it, even though I know how the story goes. Basically, I mean, there's a vampire and there's a guy and he's trying to destroy him. But I am still turning the pages trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Really?
Like, it's good. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's
that's
really
awesome.
Good.
How many pages would you say it is? Is it around like 300 or is it a thicker one?
Two something. No, it's not that thick.
Okay.
No.
That's interesting.
It's
only
like 26 chapters or something. It's
not
very long.
I've never read any of those. I haven't read, what is the one with the painting that ages?
Frankenstein.
Yeah, I haven't read Frankenstein. I haven't read Jekyll and Hyde.
Mr. Jekyll, yeah.
What is that one with the painting? It's up in the attic or down in the cellar and it ages?
Oh, it's
Dorian Gray.
Oh, no, I haven't read that one
either. No, I haven't read that one either. Yeah, there are a lot of out there.
What are you reading?
Well, I'm still reading Sag Harbor by Colson Whitehead. And I got to tell you,
him,
I'm thinking about putting that down.
Are you?
Yeah, it's so, I think it's so boring. I mean, it's about two boys. It's about two boys in their teens and they are, on vacation at this summer place and, you know, they're privileged. They go to a private school and all of this. And it just talks about their antics. You know, it's almost like it kind of reminds me of Ray Bradbury's Dandelion Wine because it is totally different than his normal science fiction. And it's more of a kind of a thinly veiled fictional autobiography. And I feel like this may be the same for Whitehead. But anyway, in honor of Horror-tober.
I love that. I see what you did there.
I ordered a book called My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix. And I even ordered the hardcover because the hardcover is so cool. It looks like a yearbook. And so when you open the front cover, it even has people's notes, like
like a yearbook.
Best friends forever.
I like Grady Hendrix, but that will probably not be on my TBR list. So
I think it's supposed to have a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, he does. So, well, let's turn on another light and head into this horror fest.
Now, I put a question on our shared book club GroupMe page asking what the scariest book the members had ever read. And I was shocked at the number of people who won't read the genre.
I am not alone. Hello.
You're totally vindicated.
Well, Rosie's answer was funny because she said she avoids scary books and listed Agatha Christie's Mystery and Then There Were None as her scariest read. Now, this is a gal who doesn't want suspense of any kind.
That is my favorite Agatha Christie book, but I would not call that horror at all, Rosie. You silly pickle.
No.
I'll have to ask her if she read the Harry Potter series, because those were some of the most intense, nail-biting moments I've read in a long time. It wasn't scary, but very suspenseful. And that's why I had to put them down. Halfway through book four, I just couldn't take it.
And Shannon said that she doesn't read really scary books. And Deborah says she doesn't intentionally read scary books, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, she doesn't intentionally. So if she picks one up by mistake,
yeah,
she'll read it?
Like she didn't think it was going to be that scary, but it turns out scary. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. Then there's my girl Cheyenne, who loves scary books, and she named two titles by Stephen King. And when she mentioned Stephen King, that brought Megan to a seat at the table with her love of Stephen King. And I, too, loved reading Stephen King books until I read Gerald's Game, which damaged me.
I don't even know what kind of material could damage you, Carmen. Horror does seem to be a polarizing genre. And for those who have read a book, then seen the movie, we can all agree that the book is always scarier than the movie. A movie can offer a jolt of surprise, like when someone jumps out of the dark. But that book can take your imagination in so many more scarier places than a movie.
Yes, yes. And, you know, a good example of that is Tim Curry as Pennywise the Clown in the movie It.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
That clown was so much worse in my imagination. Like, my imagination made Pennywise more demonic. But, you know, me, my generation, I cannot see Tim Curry without seeing Frankenfurter.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I know. Right.
You know, things that my imagination could hint at but not have to represent and maintain like you do on the screen. It's just really kind of boxed in when it's a movie, but when it's a book, it's limitless.
Right. Plus, with a book, you're the only one there. Experiencing the story. And in a movie theater, you have an auditorium of people who can help you escape with your life in the event the characters on the screen materialize in real life. yes. There's a sense of security, even when you're sitting on your sofa. If there's a knock at the door, which would scare the crap out of me, you're still in the house. And hopefully with your husband or whoever. So
yes, or at least your friends Smith and Wesson. You know,
exactly. Get it?
Well, I got crickets
got
there.
It. I got it.
Tough crowd. That's all right. But, you know, the other thing I thought of is, you know how you're waiting on something, like you're waiting on test results or your best friend tells you or your boyfriend tells you that we've got to talk. It's always the worst thing that comes to your mind. And, you know, your boyfriend's with another woman. It's never his sister. It's always he's cheating on you, you know? And I think books are the same way. I think the story creates the action in your mind that is just so much more intense and creepy than it could ever be on the screen. And, you know, like I said before, with movies, the action's the action, and that is it.
Well, let's turn on yet some more lights and make sure the doors and the windows are locked, and we're going to come back and talk some titles. Now you're going to ease me into this, right? Or you're not just going to toss me straight into the deep end, which is filled with blood or running from chainsaws and trying to escape the living dead, correct? I mean,
we're going to go easy, right? I am going to ease you into this. I was looking at my specially made bespoke built-in bookcases.
Just a moment for the bookcases.
Realized the best way to introduce this genre to a group of our listeners who may not embrace it is to talk about comedy horror.
What, girl, what on earth are you talking about? This feels like some sordid trickery here.
Well, the first title is John Dies at the End by David Wong. And in this book, two buddies become paranormal investigators because they've each taken a drug called soy sauce, and it gives them superhuman intelligence. And the book is crazy. There's a poltergeist made up of frozen meat products, a doorknob that turns into a penis. And one of the main characters is called Morgan Freeman because the hero of the story forgets his name.
I was skeptical on this one, so I looked it up on Goodreads, and it is indeed part of a horror genre. I also discovered there was a movie made from this book. Plus, if you like it, this is the first book of a series.
Yes, and I will go back to that penis doorknob. That's also in the movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay. The second book is Horror Store by Grady Hendrix. And the only thing I'm going to say about this book is that it takes place in a haunted IKEA type store. So the beginning of each chapter is a drawing of a piece of furniture, and it's complete with the Swedish name and the description. And it turns out that that piece of furniture plays a role in that chapter.
First off, when I checked this out, I loved the cover. It's the most unique book. Like you were saying in the other book that you mentioned earlier, My Best Friend's Exorcism, the pictures on the inside and the front back cover, along with all the maps and the furniture, this makes this book awesome.
Yes. Grady Hendrix is... He must be just really brilliant when it comes to his imagination. The other one that you just mentioned, My Best Friend's Exorcism, it is available in hardcover and paperback. The paperback looks like an old used B-movie VHS cassette tape holder.
I love it.
It's so kind of kitschy. And then of course the hardback looks like the yearbook. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think I forgot to mention it even has funny ads in the back.
I heard that there are lots of throwback and references to 1988 in this book, which is the greatest decade in history. So I don't know. This one, I might could get on with one of these two books and read it and be okay. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the premise.
Well, the last one in this section is called Popular Hits of the Showa Era. And it is by Ryu Murakami, and it's translated by Ralph McCarthy. And this one is about a gang war to control a Tokyo neighborhood.
Okay. What makes that horror? Or what makes that funny? It doesn't sound like either.
Let me tell you about the gangs, though. The gangs, two rival gangs. One gang is six aimless teenage boys who love karaoke, and six tough-ass women, middle-aged women, who are called aunties. Mm-hmm. And one of the boys kills one of the women, and from there, it is on.
Okay, I'm not sure if I'm wired to like these horror stories. I just don't enjoy the adrenaline rush of being scared while being safe. Maybe I'm just too empathetic. I don't know.
Oh, that's not the word I would use, but let's turn off some of these damn lights and get down to business. We got several good responses to the question, what is the scariest book you've ever read?
Deborah listed Contagion by Robin Cook after this past 18 months of pandemic, I would say that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, not a book that I would read right now.
No, I'm not. Maybe not right now.
Shannon really listed a couple of great ones that I had never heard of. One is the Music Box series for young adults. Mm. And after looking this one up, I think she means the Dark Carousel series by Anya Allen. There are 5 books in this series. It's gothic horror. The first is titled Dollhouse. And let me just read the summary from Goodreads. An abandoned mansion deep in the woods, a dollhouse filled with life-size toys, a doorway into other realms, and girls who keep disappearing. I'm totally adding this to my list.
No, and that again is a solid no for me. Shannon also listed the Asylum series by Madeline Rue, another young adult series. This one has 4 novels and 3 novellas. It sounds really good, though. It follows 3 teens who meet at a college preparatory program during the summer and start exploring an old asylum that has been turned into student housing. Why? That's a big no. You should never do that. As they explore, they find old photographs, which are printed in a book. Hello, leave it alone. And a hint of the sordid history at the asylum. This reminds me of the asylum down there in Tuscaloosa. So no, that's a big no. That's a big no for me.
That would be awesome, student housing, Tuscaloosa.
No, that's a big no.
And you know, I love that they find old photographs and the author puts them in the book. Yeah, I really like that.
No, that's
Miss Peregrine's home for peculiar children. Mm-hmm. That book did that too, and I really like that. I like that way that they do that. We did get a couple of Stephen King's, like I mentioned before. Cheyenne and Gay both listed Carrie, about a telekinetic high school girl who should not have been bullied.
Nope.
How about if somebody can set something on fire, tell her hair looks pretty.
Exactly. I like your dress, girl. You got it going.
Jennifer said that Pet Sematary did her in. And that one is about a plot of land that when you bury something dead, it comes back to life, but not the way you want it to. But you know, an interesting thing about Pet Sematary, I was trying to spell it out and I kept misspelling it, you know, because cemetery is spelled with a C.
C. Right.
But this cemetery, S-E-M-A.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting that Stephen King
did that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read some more about why he did that.
So one of the scariest books I've read, and I don't really read that many, but last year I picked up The Boatman's Daughter by Andy Davidson. And again, I think it was accidental because I didn't think it was going to be as scary as it was. It was set in the rivers and the bayous in Arkansas. And it's about a daughter, Miranda, and how she tries to manage her life after her dad was killed. And the characters end up being super shady. Plus, it's set in a place that's hot, humid, with all kinds of bugs and gross stuff. And I liked how Davidson writes because he had such a strong voice and point of view and very descriptive. And his characters really felt real. So it was good.
So it was one of the scariest books you've read, but it was also very good. You would recommend it?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Very scary, but yeah, good.
Well, the scariest book I have ever read is Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill.
I was going to tell you, that book is on almost every list of books that people had to put down. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was creepy AF. And yeah. Joe Hill, the author, is Stephen King's son.
I know.
Yeah. But it's about an aging rock star who collects macabre memorabilia. And his latest is a funeral suit that is said to be haunted by the dead man who wore it. Mm. And there was just something about the writing. I was just really totally into this book.
I wish we had more time because I want to talk about books that were supposed to be scary that weren't scary at all. For example, I read Gill's All Fright Diner by A. Lee Martinez. That's listed as a horror, but it was more of a fantasy to me. So it's Duke, who's a werewolf, and Earl, who's a vampire, who stop at a diner where they meet Loretta, who owns the place, and she offers them a job to kill zombies. So the story is filled with all kinds of fun supernatural creatures, and the ending was perfect. So it's a must read. It kind of,
I think
it's not really horror. It reminds me more of like a Neil Gaiman book, you know, that sci-fi fantasy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that title. I wonder if I've got that on my bookshelves.
It's a good book.
I kind of felt that way about Rosemary's Baby by Ira Levin.
Yeah.
And honestly, almost all of the Stephen King titles that I've ever read, they are suspenseful, but it just didn't invoke terror or chills or make me need to sleep with the light on. And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
A big welcome and thank you to our new listener, Nancy, who has just discovered us. Thanks for the big Facebook love, sis. Be sure to tell all your reading buddies about us.
Yes. And in response to our Hidden Gems episode, Gay said, "Peace Like a River by Leif Enger is a hidden gem in my book, but it does have 8,000 reviews on Goodreads.
Whoa.
I read this book years ago and revisited it a few months back. I still love it." So, Gay, I appreciate that recommendation, and I'm going to add that to our show notes.
Yeah, I've actually got that book on my shelf. I read that years ago. It is a good book. So let us know which books scare you the most. And of course, always check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
And visit us at www.bubblybibbly.com. You can sign up for notices of new content, go back and listen to old episodes, and get some book recommendations from my reviews.
And remember, don't be afraid of being scared. To be afraid is a sign of common sense. Only complete idiots are not afraid of anything. Carlos Ruiz Zafón.